Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's all learn to get used to say amen. It's a powerful thing, you know. It's like we're saying receive. Amen is I receive, I agree, I embrace it. Amen.
Amen.
Little seeds lasting harvest. Little seeds lasting harvest. I wonder if any one of you has ever tried planting a seed. Anyone? It doesn't matter if it grew or not. Did anyone? Good. It's a very interesting process. Planting very tiny, insignificant things. Place it in the ground. Also an almost insignificant activity. You cover it with soil. You water it, hopefully. And then you wait. Isn't it? Very ordinary things. And usually, nothing spectacular happens the next day. If you were like me when I was a child, you go dig it out the second day just to see if it's beginning to come. How many of you ever did that? Nothing happens even the second day. Maybe nothing even happens the third, the fourth, the fifth day, depending on what you've planted. But if the conditions are right, something extraordinary would be taking place beneath the surface. I understand something like the bamboo tree. How many of you are familiar with the bamboo tree? You wait like 5 years before you ever see anything happen. You know that. But it's not as if nothing is happening. Something will be happening underneath the surface. And at the right time, if all the necessary conditions are met, the watering, the sunlight, and all those things we learned in biology or elementary science, if all the conditions are right, eventually, you begin to notice a process of germination. Jesus spoke parables in Matthew 13 using the analogy of seeds. He spoke about a farmer scattering seeds. He spoke about a mustard seed. He spoke about wheat growing alongside weeds and hidden growth, patient waiting, and all of that. Why was Jesus using this analogy? Jesus was using this analogy because he was trying to teach us that the kingdom of God often grows in ways that are more quiet than dramatic. God usually works in the small, unseen, repeated moments of life. The small, unseen, repeated moments of life. And that is something we often forget. As I said earlier, as a child, being introduced to planting, I will plant and I will go there the second day, the third day, just to be sure And then you give up after a while. Oh, maybe it's not. And you stop wondering. And you stop allowing the right conditions. God usually works in the small, unseen, repeated moments of life. We live in a culture that celebrates. This is important because we live in this culture where we celebrate instant results. We want instant success, overnight success, quick fixes, dramatic transformation. It is striking. Let me ask this question before I say this. Does any of you know the most well-paid chief exec, female chief exec for the last few years? Huh? Well done. That 365 chief exec, Dennis Coates. She's been the highest paid chief exec in Britain for a while now. The highest paid female chief exec, with annual pay running into hundreds of millions of pounds. Last year, our total package was 280 million from betting, from those little gambling. Why? And don't forget, this is £5, £10, £20, more than that, that most people don't have money. Pay. Remember what Jesus said. Those who have, more will be given. Those who think they don't have, even that which they have, will be taken from them and given to. People want overnight transformation, overnight millions. So they are gladly making people like Bet365 chief exec rich and even richer, year in, year out. People get addicted to gambling. They hope that they will one day have a grand, spectacular financial windfall. But rather than pointing to the grand and spectacular, Jesus points us to something almost very small and invincible. He points us to a seed. In the parable of the sower, Jesus tells us that the same seed falls on different kinds of ground. The seed itself is good. The difference is not the quality of the seed that goes on the rocky sand or the one that goes among thorns. The difference is not this in the seed, in the quality of the seed. The difference is in the quality of the soil. Some seeds never take root, not because they are of an inferior quality. Some spring up quickly but soon withers. Some are choked by thorns, and some fall on good soil and produce an abundance of harvest. Same seeds, but different results. So like what I'm saying this morning as well, they are seeds. The quality of the soil of our heart often determines what the quality of the result will be. Jesus says the seed represents the word of God, and it is God's truth planted in human hearts. But he said, even though this seed is of a fantastic quality, the word of God, it won't always lead to the expected outcome, just like the seeds planted in different soils won't always get the same outcome. Not because anything is wrong with the seeds, but because oftentimes different soils, different kind of soils will lead to different outcomes. We heard of the seeds that fell among thorns, representing the seeds that will fall amongst the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth choking the word, making it unfruitful. We heard of the seeds that will fall on rocky sand, that the heart is so impenetrable because of the hardness of such soil, or hearts in this case, that will not make the word of God penetrate. So maybe things like bitterness, malice, and unforgiveness, these are sort of synonymous to things that harden our hearts and will not make the word of God germinate as God intends. The seed is never bad, but the soil has got to be right. Years ago, Bishop Tom Wright, the former Bishop of Durham, told the story of a man who was repeatedly dreaming about his house on fire. And he said, night after night, this man kept having the same dream. I don't know if that has ever been your experience. Every night he wakes up, every morning he wakes up, he remembers the dream of him being in a house and the house on fire, and he will see his friend pouring petrol into the fire. But at the end of this dream, he's always noticing that he escapes, but he normally wakes up panting and in sweat. And it was getting too bad because same dream, same night. He decided he needed to see a psychiatrist. And he spoke to a very wise psychiatrist who suggested that the house represented the man's inner life, while the friend he kept seeing in that dream pouring petrol into the fire, representing something within the young man's personality that was quietly damaging him. So the dream was revealing something that laid beneath the surface of that young man's inner life. Jesus' parable, is kind of similar to that. That young man who sought the clinician was told that something in his inner life was at war. So he was invited to look beneath the surface of his life. Similarly, this morning, Jesus is inviting us not to doubt the quality of the seeds that we keep receiving, but to look beneath the surface of our lives. What is growing in the soil of my heart? What occupies my attention? What is making my heart become rocky and full of thorns? What is making it impossible for the Word of God to find room and space to grow well in my heart? What is quietly shaping the person that I am becoming? Because whether we realize it or not, we are all cultivating something. Seeds are constantly being sown, and they are either being choked away by all sorts of things, Or maybe something within us is just not letting what God wants to manifest. A few years ago, a gentleman called James Clear wrote the best-selling book, Atomic Habits. I brought a copy, and it's a reader I would recommend. It's something I'll recommend for you. If you've not read it, it's a nice, fantastic read. I don't have any stakehold in his company or anything. He said, the central idea of that book is wonderfully simple. Atomic Habits just suggest that small habits that we repeat consistently shape the direction of our lives far more than those occasional moments of inspiration. So his central idea is that the simple, repetitive, small habits form us into who we are in ways that we probably never understand. More than those occasional moments of inspiration of, you know, or brilliance, it's these small, tiny, seed-like habits. As he puts it in that book, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. Every action, those small actions, granular actions, they build up over time to determine the type of person you eventually become. That sounds remarkably close to what Jesus was teaching through the parable of the seeds. The kingdom of God grows like seeds. Little things matter. The daily choices we make matter. The quiet routines matter. The habits we hardly notice today become the harvest we experience tomorrow. Nobody accidentally becomes kind. Nobody accidentally becomes patient. Nobody accidentally becomes a deep lover of God. It's the little habits over time. Character grows seed by seed. Ebube and Lola, the little acts of kindness. That's for all of us as well to hear. Prayer by prayer, act of kindness by act of kindness, day by day, we've been formed. Perhaps that is why the greatest challenge in the parable of the sower is not the seed, but the quality of the soil. A soil with lots of thorns, which represent the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, for example, would definitely choke the seed. Today, the thorns might be representative of things like constant notifications from our phones, the endless scrolling, the relentless need to see what is happening on social media, the endless entertainment from our tablets, the pressure to achieve more, buy more, compare more. Those are thorns that will choke the seeds. Long before smartphones were invented, a gentleman called Aldous Huxley warned about humanity's endless appetite for distraction. He could scarcely have imagined the world we now inhabit. In his book, James McConnor, the book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, James Comer observes that our attention has become one of the most valuable commodities in the modern world. And technology, you know, tech companies compete every day for our attention. Someone said, if you are not buying the product, you may well be the product. And that's exactly what is happening. We've got to be careful. Our attention is constantly being bought and sold by tech companies. No wonder our heart sometimes feels so crowded. You become what you give your attention to. Epictetus, that ancient philosopher, said that many, many years ago. Our attention shapes our affection, and our affection shapes our habits. Our habits shape our character. Our character shapes what we often call our destiny or what we become. The good news is that the soil can be cultivated. No good gardener will give up because of weeds or thorns. They can pull them out. They can go and prepare the soil and make room for healthy growth. The same thing is true of our spiritual life. We can take charge. While you may not be able to stop every distraction that keeps appearing, you and I can decide what receives our deepest attention. We can choose to make room for the seeds that God gives us. That means beginning to give more priority to the scripture than for our social media. We can begin to make room for prayer than for idle chatter. None of this needs to be dramatic. It's just simple little adjustment in our habits, atomic habits. And what could begin as a small act of you being more mindful of your inner life would become a blessing to others. Just like that symbol of the mustard seed that then becomes a great tree providing shade for people, providing home for birds and other wildlife to nestle in. God specializes in growing small seeds into abundant harvest. The Christian life has never been about spectacular moments. It's always about the ordinary faithfulness over a lifetime. So perhaps the question Jesus leaves us with today is not how big is your faith. Perhaps the better question is, what kind of soil are you becoming? Are there thorns that we need to remove from our hearts? Are there habits that we need to change? Is there space for God's work to sink deeply into our heart? A healthy soil produces a healthy fruit. And the wonderful promise of Jesus is that good soil will always bear harvest. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So brothers and sisters, I would like to implore us to guard our attention. Solomon, the wisest man, says it beautifully in Proverbs 4:23. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. I pray that God will help us to learn to cultivate habits that nourish our souls and make room for God's word each day. The little seeds we plant today will, by God's grace, become a harvest that blesses not just our lives, but the lives of those in our community, the lives of those who will come after us. May God help us to always remember that truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to have our offertory song. God will make a way. And if you like to contribute to the offering, you can use the offertory box at the back. We've also got a contactless machine there. We've also got the QR code on your service sheet. So if you are able, please stand for our offertory song. Thank you.
Seems to be no way. In God. together. Gracious God, accept these gifts and with them all our lives to be used in your service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite Dolly to lead us in prayer before we begin our communion. Thank you.
Let's bow our heads and our hearts to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for waking us up to see another light of day, Lord. We want to thank you for bringing us into your church to worship you, to adore you, to give you thanks and praise. Lord, we want to thank you for the word that has gone forth. May it perish and may it be in our hearts, Lord. May it cultivate good fruits, Lord. May we go forth this week, Lord, and may, when people see us, may they see you. Lord, help us in our transgressions. Help us in the ways that we may fall short, Lord. And I just pray that you just continue to guide us in our ways. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We want to thank you for your mercy. We want to thank you for the hope that we have in you, Lord, because you alone are worthy of it all, Lord. We want to thank you for the blessings in our lives. We want to thank you for the many ways that you show yourself, Lord. Even when we feel discouraged, you are always there. Lord, we want to thank you that we can lean into your Holy Spirit. And we want to thank you for just so many things, Lord. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the marriage that took place on Friday and the marriages that will be taking place in this church. Lord, we use these as a point of contact for anybody else that is seeking partnership and a unity, Lord, but may it only be from you and you alone. Lord, we want to continue to bless the marriages within our church. Lord, we pray that you are the center of people's marriages, in people's households, and Lord, may they continue to look to you in all things. Lord, we also want to thank you for our children as they'll be preparing to finish their school year. Lord, we pray that you be with their going outs and their coming ins. I pray that you protect them, Lord. And I pray that they'll continue to have a good time with like their family and their friends during this summer holiday, Lord. We want to thank you for the love that they have for you. And we just want to thank you for St. John's, Lord, for everybody that comes into this church, Lord. May they feel your spirit. May they feel your love, and may they feel your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we continue to look to you and continue to praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.